You know, the Word of God is a great mystery. It's a great mystery. We talk about the wonderful things of God and the mysterious doings of Christ. I'll be glad you're here tonight. We're so often desirous to talk about the mysteries of God, and so many times I'm reluctant to do it, but in my heart, the things that I feed off of is the mysteries of Christ. And, of course, that's the thing I love to talk about, is the thing that I hunger and thirst for. So then, when I come to you to preach the Word or to talk to you about the wonderful Word of God, this is in my heart, to talk about the mysteries. And I have to find a hunger and a thirst in your heart for you to receive the mysteries of God. I'd like to read just a little bit from the book of Revelation in the 11th chapter, in the 15th verse. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Reading here in the 11th and 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, we are told that a great war broke out in heaven right at the very time that Satan was to be cast out. Michael and his angels fought, and the Bible teaches that the dragon prevailed not, neither did his angels prevail, but he was cast out into the earth. That old serpent called the devil was cast out into the earth. You know, Jesus said one time, said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That makes me to know that here, when we read this portion of Scripture that tells us that there was war in heaven, it makes me to know that that was at Calvary that this thing took place. At Calvary, Jesus beheld the fall of Satan, for he defeated Satan by offering his own body to be made sin and taking his own body to the cross. Therefore, he was able to defeat Satan, in that Satan works in the flesh. Within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing, Paul said. Satan working in the flesh, the way to overthrow him was to have a perfect human body, to take it and nail it to Calvary, and let it become the atonement for all mankind. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He overthrew Satan and he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And so then in the revelation of John, which is nothing more than the expose of Calvary, we see this thing take place. As John, just a few short years after Calvary, records his revelation, or he receives from God this great revelation that's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. Immediately after Calvary, we see him record the fall of Satan. That makes me also to understand that we that are on this side of Calvary have a great privilege that people did not have before Calvary. We have a great privilege that others have not obtained unto. On this side of Calvary, we're able to do things that others could not do. We have privileges that others have not been able to have. On this side of Calvary, there is nothing that is held from mankind or withheld from mankind. There is nothing that God hath in the storehouse of God but what we can have it on this side of Calvary. Knowing this, I get real jubilant. I get thrilled over it when I think about my inheritance in God and what I can have because of Calvary.
You've heard that song, "Because of Calvary." I get thrilled when I think of what I could have because of Calvary. You say, well, what can you have, Brother Pike, because of Calvary? I can have eternal life because of Calvary. I can have perfect health in my body because of Calvary. I can bypass the grave and never die and never have to be put in a casket because of Calvary, because I'm on this side of Calvary. Now you say, I don't see that. I don't understand that. I'm sure that you don't, but I'll tell you one thing, it's still real. It doesn't make it not so because you don't understand it. There's a lot of things perhaps I don't understand and you don't understand, but they're so anyhow. I'm glad tonight that as I read this revelation of Jesus Christ, I can understand the wonderful blessings of God, and I can see my inheritance in God and realize what God has in store for me and for you. It says here, now has come salvation and strength. Now has come salvation and strength. The very minute that Satan is cast out of heaven, the Bible tells us that the church receives strength. Isn't that right? The very minute that he's excommunicated and he goes out of the Spirit, that very minute we have power. Now has come strength to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has not just now come, for the kingdom of God has been since Calvary. Isn't that right? Even before Calvary, Jesus preached the kingdom of God. But when he went to Calvary, it gave the kingdom of God power. It gave the kingdom of God strength. And he said, now has come power. Now has come strength. The kingdom of God is now in the earth. You pray, Father, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, now that thy kingdom is in the earth. Father, let your will be done on earth. Now that your kingdom has come, let your will be done on earth. I wonder tonight how many of us are really concerned about the will of God being done on earth. You know, you can tell how concerned we are about it when we consider one another and we see the little effort that we put forth to conquer mankind, that is the outer man. When we look around and we see no more effort, no more concern than what we see in trying to overcome the outer man, then we know there's not much concern about the will of God being done in the earth and the kingdom of God being established in the earth. Isn't that right? The law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom has been preached, and men are pressing their way into the kingdom. I'm pressing my way into the kingdom. You are pressing your way into the kingdom. And if you ever get into the kingdom, that is anybody ever gets into the kingdom, they will press their way into the kingdom against the satanic forces of darkness, because there is a power of Satan that is going to wrestle against your mind and against your spirit and do everything he can to keep you from entering into the kingdom of God. But I tell you again, the law and the prophets being until John, until Calvary, since that time the kingdom of God is in the earth. My interest is, Father, thy will be done. Since thy kingdom is come, thy will be done on this earth as in heaven. That is, God, give me the power, give me the concern, Father, to work with people and to tutor people and to help bring the kingdom of God in a greater measure into the heart of mankind, that they may understand that here in this present world that the kingdom of God is being set up, that here on this present earth that the kingdom of God is being set up, that the kingdom of God is here. You know, Jesus told a man one time when he answered him discreetly, he said, thou art not far from the kingdom. Thou art not far from the kingdom. It's when we give a discreet answer to God, it's when we answer God soberly and soundly, that we find ourselves nigh unto the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? So then the kingdom of God is in the earth today. The kingdom of God has been here ever since Calvary, and I am thrilled over the kingdom of God being here. I am thrilled over what Jesus said when he said, I am the light of the world, I go away, and now you are the light of the world. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm thrilled over it. It's exciting to me because I know that Having the Spirit of God, I can live eternally. The one thing that's needful as I preach this morning is eternal life. Jesus said, I am the Prince of Peace. I am the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And Jesus said, Mary, thou hast chosen the one thing that's needful, the better part. That's the thing. I'm glad that I've chosen the better part. I'm glad that I see the kingdom of God. I'm glad that I've been translated into the kingdom of God. I'm glad that I'm part of the kingdom of God here in this world today. I'm glad the kingdom of God is being preached. The law and the prophets till John, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. Men have pressed their way into the kingdom of God. There's many people that's been translated into the kingdom of God. I'm a firm believer that when you get into the kingdom of God, you don't get out of the kingdom of God. I don't believe you go in the kingdom of God and then God puts you out of the kingdom of God. I don't believe that. I believe that when you are translated into the kingdom of God, that you are a part of the kingdom of God from now on. I believe that when you're born again, that you are in the family of God and that you don't change overnight and go back to the old family. You know, a lot of people have the feelings, I'm with God today and I'm with Satan tomorrow. I love Jesus today and I'm backslid tomorrow. I'm in another family tomorrow. But I want you to know that you are born of the Spirit of God and you don't get into the family of God until you are born of the Spirit of God. And you don't get out of the old family until you die out of the old family. Isn't that right? You first must die before you can get into a new family. You can't just get into a new family. You have to be born into that family. I'm in my dad's family by my natural birth because I was born into that family. I cannot, in the spiritual birth, get into the kingdom of God unless I'm born into that family of God. And I certainly cannot do anything until I die to the old family. Isn't that right? But if I reckon myself to be dead indeed to sin by the body of Jesus Christ, dead to the old family, then by the washing of regeneration, I can become part of the new generation and be part of the generation of Jesus Christ. The Bible asks us the question, who then shall declare his generation? Who is it that's going to declare his posterity? In that he was cut off at Calvary? Who then will declare his generation? And I say this so often, I will declare his generation because I belong to his generation. By the washing of regeneration, I am part of the generation of God. I belong to the generation of God. So I am in that generation. Before I ever got into that generation, I had to die to the old generation. Before I come into the family of God, I had to die from the old family. I had to make a change, and I'm glad tonight that I did make a change. So then, what a great, marvelous privilege that we have here in the earth today. Not waiting. You know, so many people keep waiting for something to happen and waiting for some grand, glorious turn of event. But you know, that is a bad situation. When you get like that, you just have a make-believe religion. You're always looking for something that's never there. Always hoping for something to happen that never comes around. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know I'm talking about something that's already taken place. I'm talking about something that's already happened. Christ at Calvary beheld Satan fall from heaven. I say that Jesus at Calvary overthrew Satan. And today, I am free from the powers of Satan. You say, Brother Pike, you couldn't be free from the powers of Satan. If there is a devil, he's still around somewhere. He's still in the earth. Aha, somebody would say, but you're in the earth too. I beg your pardon. The Bible said we are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Isn't that right? Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan is among you. But the Bible teaches that God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom. Therefore, where is the kingdom? I am translated into the kingdom of God. I am hid with Christ in God. Satan cannot get to me because I am hid by the blood. I am under the covering of the blood. Satan hath no power over me. The Bible teaches that when a person is passed from death unto life, that they are then eternal. That person is born in the kingdom of God. From the time that they're born in the kingdom of God, they become part of the family of God. They don't go back into the old ways of life. You see people going back out here into the things of the world. And you say, well, Brother Pike, they love the Lord. They just went back out in the world, you know. They just slipped back. Well, you know that isn't true. A person that loves God isn't going back into the things of the world. I admit that a man can slip, a man can make a mistake, a man can stumble when he's diligently trying to do what's right. But brothers and sisters, people that love God don't go back into the world. People that love God don't go back there. But you say, but Brother Pike, what about the backslider? The Bible speaks of the backslider. And Jesus said, I'm married unto the backslider. I know that, but Jesus also said, I will heal your backsliding. Isn't that right? Now let me tell you something. If Jesus is married unto a backslider, you can be sure of one thing. He's done away with his backsliding. Come on now. I said if God lets the Son of God be married to a backslider, it's because he's already healed the backsliding and he's already took care of the backsliding. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Calvary took care of the backsliding. God looked down from heaven and took care of the backsliding. And today we are free from the backsliding so that we don't have to go around backsliding anymore. That was the thing that upset God with Israel. He said, Israel, you're a backsliding heifer. So that's what you are, a backsliding heifer. But the bride of Christ is not a backsliding heifer. Isn't that right? Whoa, unto the backslider, for I am married unto you. What does that mean? Trouble, heartaches, whoa, sorrow. Brother, there's no way that you can get away from God. When you belong to God, you belong to God. You belong to God by new birth. You enter into the kingdom of God. You're clean, you're pure, you're purified, you're justified. Why? Because you're part of the kingdom of God. You belong to God. You're God's people. You're holy, pure. Now, the Bible teaches that Christ is coming back after a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. I say again, is that going to be the church of today? Look at the intermingling of the things of the world. I don't believe that the church of today, that is the church world, is the bride that Christ is speaking of. I don't believe that. I believe that the church world of today has intermingled with all of the wrongs, all of the darknesses of this time and age, and that God has rejected the church world of today. I believe that. I believe in reading the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, that the beast that come up out of the waters, I believe that that beast that come up, that the constitution of the church world in general today makes up that beast. You say, Brother Pike, that's a mighty strong talk. I believe the church world in general today makes up the beast. I made the statement that there's three parts of that beast, and one part of that beast here we see is represented as a leopard. And I say that that part that's represented as a leopard has to do with the sports, the Olympics of today. I say that that is the part that comes from the Grecian vision that Daniel had when Alexander the Great, that is that great sports world and nation, country, that great leopard there that Daniel saw, it depicted or showed Alexander the Great. I believe that the sports world is part of that beast. I believe that. The three parts was the bare feet, the leopard body, and the lion head. And I believe that that has to do with the three things we mentioned, which was the recreational doings of mankind, which is sports, and the governmental powers of mankind, which is communism, and the religious powers of mankind, which is Catholicism. I believe that those three things make up that beast. And I believe that that beast is mass humanity. I believe that it is a religious move. And I believe that it is the church world in general, because the powers of Catholicism is literally swallowing up the church world. And you see in the church world a power of religion, the powers of Catholicism, which is not just a religious thing, but it is a government. Rome is ruled by a religious government. It is a government. The powers of Catholicism is not just a religious thing, but they believe in power over, or that is religion over state. They believe in the power of religion ruling over the powers of government. Isn't that right? So then Rome today is swallowing up the church world. That is the powers of Catholicism. It's swallowing up the church world in a charismatic move. Everybody's going into it. What is it? That power of communistic government is creeping right in because Rome, or that is the powers of Catholicism, has already cast their lot with the communistic powers. We spoke of it before it happened. The papers carried it, and so it is. I believe that the church world is, in general, the beast body. So then people have to have some kind of religion to soothe them in their stride of life. They are pressed into a corner to the extent they must have a government, and they have to have some recreational outlet for their human bodies. But we who are sons and daughters of God, we find that following Christ is sufficient for everything that we want to do. Isn't that right? Christ takes care of all of it. We are complete in Him. We don't have to seek after government. We don't have to seek after religion. We don't have to seek after anything, recreation or whatever, because God is the one that looks after us. Moses was old. The Bible said he was 80 years old. His eyesight had not waxed dim. The natural sources of his body was not abated. He was not affiliated with anything in that day that even sound like the sports of today. Isn't that right? But he was in good shape, my brother and sister. He was in good shape. Father Abraham was in good shape. He didn't have to join up with the weightlifting team, the whatever. He was in good shape. God took care of him. Isn't that right? Moses didn't have to ask for some special kind of government. God took Israel out of Egypt and set up their own government out in the wilderness. Isn't that right? They didn't have to run after some religious theory. They didn't have to go to some seminary. They had God in their midst. They had real old-time religion. They had the Holy Ghost of God moving in and out the camp and directing them into the things that they needed to know. I'm thrilled because the kingdom of God is in the earth today. I've come to understand the kingdom of God. I've come to know about the wonderful things of God, that I can understand the way that God understands, that I can think the way that God thinks, that I can do the things that God does. And I can be one with God. That's enough to thrill anybody. To know that you can be one with God, what greater thrill is there? To know that God is everything and you can be one with everything, isn't that thrilling? Anybody in their right mind would be thrilled over that. To know that God is everything and you can be one with everything. God is life. God is power. God is riches. God is hope. God is inspiration. God is joy. Everything. God is everything, and we're one with everything, all because of Jesus. So then the Bible said, now has come salvation. Now has come strength. Calvary, and then what? Jesus said, after Calvary, now folks can have salvation. After Calvary, now has come salvation, he said. The Spirit said, now the atonement has been made. Now Jesus has died for the remission of sin. And now has come salvation. Men can have salvation now. Now has come the kingdom of God. The law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom has been preached. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I go away and now you are the light of the world. So the kingdom of God is here. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Now, what do you mean by the power of his Christ? When Jesus commissioned them there after his resurrection, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Isn't that right? All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. That's why that we preach the name of Jesus the way we do. We preach that the power of God is in the name Jesus. Because he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now has come the power of his Christ. Jesus has died for the remission of sin. Now Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Satan is cast out. And Jesus has been made the head of the church. Now has come the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Back to Calvary again. How did they do it? by the blood of the Lamb, which is Calvary, and the words of their testimony, in that they confess Christ and said, I believe that his blood applies for me. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Now here we are. They loved not their lives unto the death. This is where the great crossing comes in. Brother, if you love your life in this world, and if you seek to save your life in this world, you're going to lose it in that world. They loved not their lives unto the death. They gave their lives freely to God. The Bible said we are to give ourselves a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. They loved not their lives unto death. We should give our bodies, we should give our lives, give all that is within us to God in every way. We shouldn't withhold one thing from God. We should be willing to die for Christ's sake. That is, not just be killed for Christ's sake. There's no glory in just being killed for Christ's sake, but rather to be a living sacrifice. Whereas the Bible said we are killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. In this, we are more than conquerors through Christ who gave himself for us. I like that. You know, I was thinking about that, I believe it was yesterday or today. Conquerors, we say that we are conquerors. Brother, sister, we're more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror as I stand here tonight. Through Christ that loved me and gave himself for me, what he did for me, it so pleased the God, the Father of heaven, that I'm more than a conqueror through what he did for me. We are more than conquerors. God more than accepts what Jesus did for us, as we would say. So then they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Are you dwelling in heaven tonight? Are you dwelling in heaven tonight? Do you really dwell in heaven tonight? Here's another question. Do you dwell in heaven tonight? Do you believe that the kingdom of God is in the earth tonight? Are you genuinely dwelling in heaven tonight? Are you just making believe, or do you really dwell in heaven tonight? Oh, friend, I live in heaven. Glory to God, I dwell in heaven. I live in heaven because I've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and I find myself in heaven with Christ Jesus. I am hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring of the restitution of all things. I'm hid with God. I'm hid with God. So then I am in heaven tonight. I am in heaven. What is heaven? The Spirit. God is a Spirit. Wherever God is, that's heaven. Wherever the Spirit is, that is God, that is heaven. I'm hid in the Spirit. I'm hid with Christ that's in the Spirit. Me and my Father are one. Jesus, a quickening Spirit, became one with God the Spirit. I'm hid in the Spirit. I'm one with my Father. Tonight, I'm one with God. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Is that right? Now then, if so be that the Spirit of Christ is within you, then you're not in the flesh. You're dead to the flesh, but the body of Jesus. But we are in Christ tonight. We're in Christ tonight. We're not natural people anymore. For he that is born of Spirit is Spirit. We are spiritual people. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Therefore, we are spiritual people tonight. Not natural people. Natural people are out in the world. They walk in the flesh. They walk after the flesh. They war after the flesh. But oh, we're not in the flesh. We are in the Spirit. Therefore, we walk in the Spirit. Our conversation is in the Spirit. Our outer man is dead to the world. We are in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We are translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And tonight we are in heaven enjoying the presence of Christ. But woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Lucifer is among you. Woe to them that dwell in the earth, for Satan has been cast out, and he is going to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is down there with you, carnal-minded people, with you that are reasoning, you that are alive in the flesh, you that love the things of this world, you that's got the love of the world in you, you that's got the thinking in you that is carnal, that's according to the world. The devil is down there with you. You've got a hard way to go. You've got a problem. And brothers and sisters, it still looks pretty good right now because you've got medical aid and you've got all the benefits to keep down pain. But wait just a little while, and the Antichrist is going to take over. And then you're going to experience things like you never dreamed that you would ever experience. What a horrible nightmare it's going to be. All because you failed to make the translation into the kingdom of God, or failed to be hid with Christ in God whom the heavens have received. All because you failed to believe on the name of Jesus. For it says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? He knoweth that he hath but a short time. At this period of time, he hath but 3.5 years. At this period of time, he hath but 3.5 years. It's likened to thousands of years. When it comes from Calvary, a day is 1,000 years. But in reality, in the tribulation, he has 3.5 years. He has a short time. He has a short time to do the evil that he's going to do. He is like a roaring lion, for he knows that his days are up, that his days are numbered. He knows that he's cast out of the spirit, and that he must personify himself in a human being. And that people will see him just as he is. They'll see him as a natural being. They'll never know him as a spiritual being again. But they'll see him in the flesh. Within the flesh there dwells no good thing. He'll have to make himself known as what he really is. He won't have access to the Spirit anymore to go up into the presence of God because of the blood atonement, or to go up into that world. He can't do that anymore. He'll be cut off from the presence of God, cut off from the throne of God, and he'll be pushed out into the earth to where everybody can see him and know him. Now you say, Brother Pike, how will they recognize him? Let me tell you something, brother. They're recognizing Lucifer right now. There's people that has confessed to be Christian for many years. They profess Christianity for many years, but Lucifer is beginning to show in their life. Isn't that right? All of a sudden, Lucifer is beginning to be manifested, and they're beginning to realize that they are the image of Satan. And the people are beginning to realize, those that are around them, that they have been walking along with the image of Satan. So then God said, I will despise your image in the morning. Lucifer being cast out, being manifest in the flesh. People are beginning to see those that they had confidence in as being Lucifer and being the image of Lucifer. Whereas they thought all the time, because they were religious, that they were children of God. But I'm glad tonight that I can be hid with God. I can be hid with God. I can be in the Spirit tonight. I can be hid away. So then now has come power. Now has come the power of the Christ. All I've got to do is believe. All I've got to do is accept it since Calvary. All I've got to do is enjoy this great world of adventure. This great thrill of being with God and being in heaven. All I've got to do is enjoy it. I don't have to wait for it. I don't have to tell people that there's something going to happen, and then we're going to have a great jubilee and we're going to get a great inheritance. My brother and sister, we already have the kingdom of God with us in the earth. We're already translated into the kingdom of God. We already have the blessings of God. We've already passed from death unto life. We already have the great inheritance that God promised unto us. We already have it. All we've got to do is start enjoying it. From the time you're born into this world, then you are a human being. Isn't that right? From the time you're born into this world, though you be a babe, yet you're still a human being. You're still in this world. You still got life. You're still in this world. And brothers and sisters, though you might be a babe, from the time that you was born into the kingdom of God, from that time on you've been in heaven. From that time on you've been perfectly secure. From that time on, all of your sins were taken away, and death was taken away from you. And from that time on, you don't have any worry from the time that you're born into this world, or into the world of God. That is this world we're speaking of. There is no more problems for you, because God is your heavenly Father. You're exceedingly rich, great and mighty in the presence of God, and you don't have to worry about those things anymore. I am glad that I'm a Christian tonight. I'm glad that I believe the kingdom of God has come. I'm glad that I've been translated into the kingdom of God. And this is where the problem comes in among mankind. Some are in the kingdom of God. Some are not in the kingdom of God. Some are religious. Some are like Cain, but some are like Abel. Some belong to God. Some belong to Satan. But darkness and light is together. All down through the years, darkness and light is pushed together. Let me say this to you again tonight. First of all, don't forget that Satan is the prince of the powers, or the ruler of the powers that's in the air. Satan is that power, that great prince of this world. That one that has power over the atomic particles of which your body is composed. Satan is that great ruler, that great power of authority, the prince of this world. And he rules in this world. And he has power over your atomic particles because you're born of mankind that was made of the dust. He's the ruler over that. And it's not until you are born again. It's not until you change worlds. It's not until you change generations that you escape the powers and authority of Satan. When you change worlds, when you're born again into the kingdom of God, then Satan hath no more power over you. Satan hath no more influence over you. Now you say, but Brother Pike, my body is still subject to vanity. Your body is still subject to vanity. That is true, in that your body is still in this world, but your spirit is in heaven. And my brother, that inward part, that controlling part, that spiritual part on the inside, that living part, has the power and the authority through Christ to overcome the weaker power in the body, which is Satan. And the Bible said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. They that belong to Christ have mortified the flesh with the deeds thereof. And they've turned away from the things of this world. And they've turned away from the bodily desires of passions. Because they are born of God. When you get God on the inside, when you get the Holy Spirit on the inside, when you get the love of God on the inside, something starts happening to you. From the very moment that you're born into the kingdom of God, there is a spiritual power, a great strength that comes on the inside of you. And that power from within, that influential power from on the inside, begins to help you. That great spiritual strength begins to eradicate all of the impurities of your life and of your heart, and begins to swallow up the outer man as you become enveloped of the great Spirit of God. So then it is a true fact that you don't have a chance in this world. If you're not born of the Spirit of God, you don't have a chance. How can you have a chance when Lucifer is your master? When Lucifer is your ruler? When Lucifer is the power that's ruling over you? You don't have a chance. But brother and sister, when we're born again, when we have the Spirit of God, then we have the power to resist the devil and he has to flee from us. We have the power to overcome the weaker power. We have the power to rule from within and bring this body under subjection and cast down every thought that comes up against the knowledge of the Almighty God. But if you don't have that power and authority, you can't do anything. I'm glad that the kingdom of God has come. I'm glad that I've been translated into the kingdom of God. I'm glad tonight I feel that spiritual power on the inside of me, that spiritual authority that speaks from within me, that tells me I can do whatever I want to. That unction from on the inside that drives me and causes me to overcome this outer body. You know, I made this statement today and I want to make it to you tonight. Your enemy is not your neighbor. Your enemy is not your brother. Your enemy is not that man, the woman out yonder that you keep warring with. Brother, sister, there is but one enemy, that is Lucifer. And the enemy of your soul is but one, that is you. You are the biggest enemy that you'll ever have. The warfare is not between you and your brother. The warfare is between Christ on the inside and you on the outside. There is a continual warfare between the inner man and the outer man, and the twins are constantly wrestling, one trying to overcome the other in the wound of the creation of God. Isn't that right? So then one must overcome. One must overcome. They're constantly wrestling with one another. There is a continual warfare between the body and between the soul. You have power to overcome the body. If you overcome the body and master the body, you get the body as a gift from God forever. If the body overcomes you, you are then a beast, and you lose everything, including the body. Your biggest enemy is you. I don't have any trouble with anybody else. All of my failures in the past has been because of one person. That's me. All that I failed to do, I can't blame anybody with it, because if I had wanted to enough, I would have done it. All of my shortcomings, I can only blame me with it. All that I have failed to do, all of my wrongs, all of my sins, all of the evil I've ever done, I can blame only one. That's me. All that you can blame is you. You are your enemy. When you on the inside get a hold of God, and then you on the inside as Christ overcome your enemy, which is the man that's on the outside, that spiritual power of Satan in your flesh that's warring against you, that's constantly accusing your brother and accusing your neighbor and accusing everyone around you. Brother, sister, when you overcome you, you've got the victory. Jesus entered into the wilderness. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And when he came back in the power of the Spirit because he had mastered the flesh. Isn't that right? And when you master the flesh, brother and sister, you're going to be a victorian in God. Amen. But until you do, you know what you're going to do? You're going to find fault with the church. You're going to find fault with the preacher. You're going to find fault with the brotherhood. You're going to find fault with the sisters. You're going to find fault with your husband. You're going to find fault with your wife. You're going to find fault with your children. Isn't that right? But on the day when God really washes you clean and you overcome the outer man, you'll find out that there won't be any fault in anyone else. You say, now how could that be, Brother Pike? Because when it comes to the body of Jesus, they said, I find no fault in this just man. Who can lay anything to the charge of the church? No one. There is no fault, no spot, no blemish. When it comes to the world, how can you then fault a beast with those things? Where is the blood of Jesus and the compassion and the love that you're supposed to have to look out there and try to win them to God, knowing that they are not born again? How then can you find fault with them? So then your enemy is you. Your problem is you. But you know, since Calvary, there is a hope. Now has come salvation. Now has come the power of God. Now has come the power of His Christ. We have, by the grace of God, been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The beast is already in the earth. He's already in the earth. And I say this in closing tonight. He's already in the earth. He is a composition of the things I spoke of government and sport and religion. He is a trinity, a three in one. That is the beast. All of the world wandered after the beast, which means after the flesh. They'll follow after one of those three things. All of the world will be caught in those things. And under the constraint of those things. Those are the three powers that will become one great power and one great control. And the beast, the head, which will be Lucifer incarnate, will gather them all together as his body, just as Jesus Christ will gather together all the members of his body. But the beast, all whose name are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will, the people, that is, will wander after the beast. The beast. They will follow after the beast. All of them that don't have their names wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will follow after the flesh. Isn't that right? They will follow after the flesh. They will go in the errors of the great whore. They will fall into the ditch of the great whore, which is the flesh. The one that rejects the name of Jesus. The one that won't have the name Jesus. They'll accept religion, but not the name Jesus. They'll be a religious body, but won't accept the name Jesus. They won't go through the door of the name Jesus. Isn't that right? What is it? It's the end of the world. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's where it's at, friend.
That's where it's at. We've come down to the end of the way, and the beast has come on the scene, and even though you haven't seen him head up into a headship yet, you're not going to see it, because the church is going to be translated out of here and taken out of here before he heads up, or they head up into that headship. You'll be gone, but I want you to know that he's already in the earth. He's already on the rampage. So then, all that you can do is withdraw from it. You are going to have to stay out from under the constraint of the powers of sports. You're going to have to stay out from under the constraint of the powers of religion. You're going to have to stay out from under the constraint of the powers of government. You're going to have to do it. You say, Brother Pike, how can this be? There is no way. Beloved friend, there's no way that you could do it. No way, because it will be forced on you. There is no way except for the fact that Christ isn't going to leave you here to face it. The others will have to go under it because there's no way to get out from under it. Just recently, they sent the censors. Some of you got it. I'm sure you did. They say they passed a law where you have to fill it out or it's a $100 fine. Now, they say we want a censor for the reason that we want to know how many people that we've got in the world today, the population. That's not true. They want a censor so that they can impose upon you the penalty of taxes. Isn't that right? The penalty of taxes. They want to impose upon you the penalty of taxes, and they want to make sure that not one person escapes. It has always been the devil's way to number the people. They number them in churches. That's part of the devil's program. They number them through the government. That's part of the devil's program. He is bringing them all under the system of the computer for the simple reason that he wants control of them, to enslave them, to take what they've got. It's always been God's way to rebel against the number system. Always been God's way to keep his people from being numbered, because God does not trust in the power and strength of numerical order. God does not trust in the multitude. He proved that in the days of Gideon and many other times. God doesn't trust in that. He doesn't want us to trust in that. God trusts in faith in mankind, and we trust in the God that honors that faith. Therefore, there is no numerical order with God. We don't number people at Bethlehem, because that's wrong. When David numbered Israel, it upset God. And that's what the devil is doing, is numbering the people. Numbering the people to consolidate his kingdom, because the great power of the beast is in operation. And I'll tell you what, it's time that you drew nigh to God. It's time that you got reconciled to God. It's time that you choose which side you're on and make up your mind that you're either going to be on God's side or the world's side, and either get in with God or get out there in the world. It's time that you did it, because that great hour is here. That great hour is here. I am fully persuaded that in this year of 80, that God will begin to bring the church together, and that in this year that the beast's body will begin to come together and unify itself. I believe that. They'll both run right side by side, and I believe that this year will set everything in motion for that. I'm persuaded to believe that we at Bethlehem, who have come into the light, have a world responsibility. And it's up to you and I to do something about it. It's up to you and I to do something about it. I want you to stand with me. I appreciate your attention tonight. Glad to talk with you some. And I appreciate you coming here to be with us. But I want you to know that we've got a world responsibility. There's a great responsibility. And you are held responsible in the sight of God. You might not accept the responsibility. But if you do not accept the responsibility, then you're going to be in trouble with God, because God isn't going to shift the responsibility just because you don't accept it. It's still a responsibility. A mother has a responsibility when she has children. A dad has a responsibility when he has children. And it doesn't matter how he feels about it, it's still his responsibility. So then we have a responsibility to be about our Father's kingdom. I say this with all reverence and respect, and I believe it to be the truth. Your ultimate desire should be toward this church and toward the progress of the kingdom of God. unless you are called into the ministry to go do something otherwise, or to help some other place, or to get out there and publish the gospel with your own testimony of lip, brother and sister, this should be your ultimatum of life. It should be your desire. You should be with all of your heart concerned about the church in Little Bethlehem and want to do something for the kingdom of God right here. This should be it. If not, there's something wrong with you. If you're going to sit off and find fault, if you're going to back off and not help, if you're just going to find fault, it can't be but one thing. It's got to be the devil. It's got to be Satan. The kingdom of God is not divided. You've got to be on one side or another. You cannot be in that kind of condition. You belong to one or the other. And if you're always finding fault and accusing, then it's got to be Satan, for he is the accuser of the brethren. For the scripture states here very thoroughly that the accuser of the brethren that accuse them day and night is cast out. All right? Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Can you sing it with me? Hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love him? I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Will you follow Jesus? Where he leads me, I will follow, and I'll go with him, all the way. Jesus will lead me wherever he leads me. I want to follow him. I'm so glad I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm so glad that I passed from death into life. I'm so glad that I'm alive forevermore. I'm glad that I come to know about Jesus and this wonderful way of life. How thrilling to know tonight. He's mine and I'm his forever. I'm his. You know, that makes me want to sing that song again. Let's sing it again. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I think about that little chorus a lot of times because it pleaseth me well. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. Yes, Jesus made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, because there really is thanksgiving in my heart. Jesus from inside of me has created a spring of living water, springing up into everlasting life, and he hath made me so glad on the inside. I was talking to my wife today as we drove down the road, and I was telling Betty, you know, on the inside, there's a fountain that's open in the house of David today. You see the rain coming down around us? See all the mud puddles? See everything all muddy and messed up as you look around you? And it's discouraging. Seems like the earth stays in a mess all the time. Isn't that right? All the time the earth is always messed up because it has to rain. Rain and then the earth is all messed up. But see, what would we do if we didn't have any rain? Look how everything would dry up if we didn't have any water. So then we have to have the rain. Isn't that right? But see, God didn't intend for the earth to be all messed up. It wasn't the plan of God for the earth to be all messed up, but to rain all the time and keep the earth all messed up. When God created the earth watered itself from within. And there came up from the earth a mist that kept everything rich and green. And the earth wasn't all puddled up and messed up. But because of the sin of mankind, the life on the inside of man had to be cut off. And when the life was cut off, to symbolize it by natural things, the waters of the earth had to be cut off on the inside. And now man being cut off from God, Jesus from Calvary going back, had to rain down the rain of his tender kindness upon us. Had to rain down the showers of life upon us. And from time to time, when our ground feels dry and we feel cut off and we don't feel that we have any life or hope, all of a sudden, then comes the rain, and it refreshes us. But did you know that God has changed it? There is now a fountain open in the house of David, and them that are born again can water themselves from within. I know you may be just a babe in Christ, and you may not understand it. But beloved friend, God doesn't want you to stay messed up on the outside all the time. Is that right? All the time. As long as religion is preached to you, you stay messed up on the outside all the time if you're out in the world. Isn't that right? Because condemnation, the briars and thorns and thistles of condemnation hover over you and interweave themselves with your garden. And you're all messed up. Isn't that right? But God wants to do away with that. God wants to do away with that. He wants a tutoring from within. God wants you to grow up from within. God wants to give you life from within. And God wants you to be able to water yourself from within. God wants you to redeem this earth, this body, this physical being from within. And let the waters of life freely flow from within inside of you into every fiber of your body until your body is literally blossoming with the fruits of the Spirit, till the glory of God overshadows you and there's no more condemnation. There's no more problems. There's no more heartaches and no more sorrows. That's what God is doing. That's what he has done since Calvary. Now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of God. You've got this great opportunity if you'll take advantage of it. That's why we sing the song, "This is like heaven to me," and let us praise him. Can we sing that? Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. I'm shouting the victory. Can you sing it? I'm shouting the victory. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. You know, to worship God in song and to praise God in song is the most beautiful thing that man ever done. To lift up hands everywhere without wrath and without doubting is one of the most beautiful things that you ever done. To have God come nigh unto you, to feel your innermost being, to love you. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you. Can you sing it with me? Just to help me with the trials I go through. Though dark may be the night, I can see that ray of light. When I feel another touch, Lord, from you. Oh yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me, and he made me whole. Oh yes, he touched me. Oh yes, he touched me. And oh, that joy that floods my soul. For something has happened, and now I know that he touched me, and he made me whole. Don't you feel whole tonight? As you feel Jesus touch you, don't you feel whole tonight? Don't you feel whole tonight? I want you to slip your hands up for just a minute now. To worship God, to love God tonight. To feel the love of God in your heart tonight. Let it flow freely tonight. Let the fountain of David that's open on the inside, let it spring forth in all of its radiance and glory tonight. Don't let the old evil jealousy and haughtiness and evil surmising, all the corruption from that spring up within you. Oh, how unsightly you'll be in the sight of God. But let the love of God, let the wonderful adoration of God, let the trueness of God, the purification of God, oh, let the fountain from within the house of David overflow tonight. What a beautiful thought. What a beautiful experience to have Jesus touch you. Just to feel his wonderful hands. Just to feel his wonderful love. Don't you love him? Don't you love him? Don't you love him tonight? Hallelujah. Father of heaven tonight, I pray in your wonderful name, Jesus, that if there be any person here tonight that's in need in any manner, God, that you'll undertake for them. I pray that you'll heal. I pray that you'll save. I pray that you'll forgive. Father, I pray this very night that the wonderful blessings of God will hallow this place. Father, that little Bethlehem will be filled with the radiance of Jesus.
Father, that every person will be filled with the love of God. That there be a great thing springing up within their heart, Holy Father. Cleanse us and purge us and purify us, O God, that we be holy and that we be heavenly and that we be righteous. Knowing, God, that no unclean thing shall enter into the kingdom of God, may we then be part of the great and mighty kingdom of God. Father, may it be so tonight as we love and worship thy wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this one little chorus tonight. When he reached down his hand for me, when he reached way down for me.